Okay, well, why don't we go ahead and begin? If somebody, maybe Jen, if you can help remind me. By the way, we're actually sitting out here on the West Porch with all the monks, so all the monks are on the call, too.
Great.
What a crowd, huh?
And our dinner meeting for us.
Wouldn't miss it.
So if Jen will help me remember, maybe in a few minutes we could say again, I'm going to tell people, remind people how to unmute themselves. If we could say it again in case anybody joins late on the call so that they have the information. So I'm going to mute everybody here in just a second. And then the way to participate and to unmute yourself is to hit *6 on your phone. And then that will bring you live. And then after you jump in, if you wouldn't mind hitting *6 again to bring you back into the background, that would be great. Is that clear?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Let me see if I can do my magic here. Okay, you guys are all in the background now. So let me tell you what I was thinking that we could do, the way that we could spend this hour, and then let me see what, you know, if I'm missing anything or missing the point or whatever. Maybe people can give input. I was thinking it would be nice maybe to start off, we've got quite a few people, actually, who are on this call who are not here for the facilitator's retreat, which is really fun and exciting. And they know kind of the basics of what we came up with, you know, in terms of the program. I'll tell you what I told them in a minute. I thought it might be fun to start off with a few minutes, just hearing from people about the retreat and what you know, what folks want to know who weren't here, you know, things that kind of stood out as things that we talked about during the retreat. And then In addition to that, we have quite a bit of business. We've got the blurbs that Lynette wrote, and really all of the, we've got a bunch of follow-ups for people who had assignments from the retreat, like the guidelines that Jen Yost did. I actually don't know. I don't think Jan Lemert is on the call, or Jen Yost for that matter. But Jan was going to work on the reflective listening kind of in-house practice. We should do an update with Danny on the audio files and also kind of figure out where we are with the recording of the groups that we did. I've got a copy of Who's Transcribing What that we should look at briefly. It was suggested that we talk about how communication works with this group, with, you know, just how are we going to do that. And that's basically what I have. Any input from people about other better ways we could spend this time? Okay, not really. All right, so I'm actually thinking, we'll see how it goes, that I'm not actually going to facilitate this call. I'm just going to direct traffic mostly. So people just kind of jump in when you've got something to say. Who would be willing to start us off and catch up folks who, you know, who weren't there? You know, what most interested you or would be most helpful about the retreat that we just had?
Well, this is Sherry.
Hey, Sherry.
And what I enjoyed most about it, aside from being with a lot of spectacular people, was having a chance to play a lot of facilitation games,
mm-hmm.
and practice getting really comfortable with especially reflective listening, also having a little practice with drawing out and clarifying, so those three primary techniques of facilitation. And it's my understanding that we had a CD, we just still do, I guess, of those three techniques, getting out of the way. And I think Danny got those put up on online for us, up on the web for us, so that people can actually download those and listen to those CDs and sort of have a little extra coaching in the techniques.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the part I enjoyed most.
Yeah, that was really fun. There were some lots of high-level kind of things we did with that, and a lot came out. That was neat.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
It's Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
What I loved, many things, being with all of the wonderful, it was just fun, even hearing people say they were on the call. It just made me feel good about being connected with all of you good folks again. And so that was really spectacular, I agree. But what also was great was just recentering my own practice. And really the fact that we hit reflective listening so much and in so many different ways and so consistently reminded me how that is really the basis of facilitation and really the foundation of our of what we're doing as facilitators. And so and that felt very reassuring and inspiring to go back to that. And the another thing that I find myself thinking about and enjoying after since I've been back from the retreat is just living in, for a week, living in the possibilities of what we all can create together.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that just, we don't really know where it's going, but we're all so willing to go wherever this seems to lead us. And at least that was my projection. And it was so much fun, and just the creation place was, you know, just living in that space was really, really wonderful.
Yeah, that was so my experience, too. It seemed like a really powerful group of people doing really deep practice for a week.
Yeah.
Others?
Yeah, this is Chris. I could say a couple of things. I really enjoyed kind of being with other people who are, you know, from around the country or who are either doing what I'm doing or interested in doing what I'm doing. So kind of having, you know, just being together with that kind of a group of people, kind of feeling that kind of support that I'm just not out here by myself doing this, and then looking forward to kind of moving forward with this group in that same way, that we're all kind of, you know, gathering steam as facilitators in a particular direction in assistance to the practice.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's really fun having a direction. I over the course of the week, was doing some communicating with folks who weren't there. And it was just, you know, we actually talked about this a little bit after the retreat was over, that we've been trying to do this for years.
Right.
To create a really solid, high-energy, full-support system for the sitting groups that are out there. And I feel like we finally did it.
Yeah.
And really,
yeah.
It's really kind of amazing. And the response that I got from the people who weren't able to make the retreat, kind of, to me, that's what it suggests. You know, people are really excited about the opportunity.
Yeah. Yep, exactly.
I forgot to mention that for the monks who are here, I'm just going to hand the phone over if you've got something to say. I think Melinda has something.
Yeah. Yeah, hi. One of the things that we talked about at the retreat that I'm hoping everybody who wasn't there will have a chance to either read or listen to or both is that we're looking at developing our own individual facilitation style, that there are lots of guidelines and structures that we work within, and none of us needs to try to facilitate like Sherry. That, in fact, we will each find our own style to be completely comfortable with who we are as facilitators, and that it's not a matter of there's some particular way to deliver messages or stuff like that, but simply living into and facilitating into the way each of us does that ourselves.
Hi,
yeah,
this
thanks
is,
for that, Melinda. I think that was a really...
This is Cameron.
Mm-hmm. Cameron?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, gotcha.
Yeah. That was great. And we also came up with... Well, actually, Sherry came up with it, but a specific way to begin practicing this with other people, either within the sitting group or for those who don't have sitting groups, to practice facilitating with groups, and that is to read with the group one of Sherry's books, and we started using the key, and it provided a really nice, felt like a real safe structure for beginning a practice with a new group. So we read like one page, and then, you know, people would comment on what it brought up for them, and the facilitator would get practice reflecting and drawing out and clarifying through people's reaction to the information in the book.
Yeah, that's kind of a central piece, I think, of the program that we came up with. I mentioned it briefly to folks who were not at the retreat, but it might be good to expand it a little bit. I'll tell you what I remember. So we'll do what you just said, Cameron, and we're going to start in mid-May after the Green Cove retreat, and we're going to see if we can set it up so that everybody who is acting, who is working with a group, will do the same page or section from that book every week. So we'll all be having the same experience, and then we'll be doing a conference call, say, once a week, where we all share what experiences we had and kind of do kind of group facilitator training and support in that way.
Dave, this is Marie.
Hey, Marie.
I just wanted to say that just a little bit about being at the facilitators retreat. It was really exciting to be with so many people doing the practice and in such a deep way. And what's exciting to me is that we recorded it, and so the tapes and everything, or CDs or MP3s, whatever they are at this point, will be available to all the people who couldn't come, so they're included. And also that we talked about transcribing it to make a manual, so that they'll also be included that way. And I don't know, to me it just felt really great that we're going to have that much structure, you know, that we're going to have these regular calls and have a lot more in place to support us. And then the flip side of that that was so exciting for me is that the monastery will have this community of practitioners that can support it in a bigger and deeper way.
I have the baton, Marie, and all I can say is ditto. That's exactly right. I was going to say what I love so much was how we use the content of facilitation to do the process that you're talking about, which is people who are deepening their practice, and as they deepen their practice, they broaden and deepen what the monastery can provide. I mean, folks who are, you know, who do the nuts and bolts work of the monastery and Living Compassion know that it's exploded. I mean, this week was amazing how much stuff is moving through, and there's just no way we can keep it up without all the people who are out there facilitating and, you know, helping us to carry practice through. And one of the things that was fun for me is we did, Sherry and other people threw some things in, but put together kind of the most difficult facilitation situations, and we role-played a lot of them, and it was so much fun. And again, that's such a benefit of having recorded the whole thing, because folks who weren't there, I think, are going to be asked to listen to the whole series, and that's, to me, that's going to be a really beneficial segment, because it's such a, you know, kind of nuts and bolts, what do I do in this situation, what do I do in this situation, so that was, I thought, a really fun part of it.
Yeah, really entertaining, too. Here's Alex.
What I enjoyed the most was at the very beginning when we looked at all the different components of facilitation, how we work with fear, you know, for the facilitators themselves, how to take care of themselves after having facilitated a group or an interaction, and how to cope with any potential self-hate or backlash that might try to sneak in a comment on this facilitation that has happened, and looking at the components of facilitation, looking, you know, the reflective listening, drawing out, clarifying, and also the guidelines for that are going out to the groups. So how does it work? No crosstalk, you know, no lying down. How to deal with those circumstances? And like Jen said, a really fun part was dealing with the top 10 most challenging facilitation interactions possible. So that was really fun.
Hi, to Claire.
Hey, Claire.
Oh, hi. I just wanted to say that I went to the retreat thinking, oh, I don't know if I can do this, and I left the retreat thinking, I can do this. And a big part of that was feeling the support of the monastery and feeling, I like the idea that we're going to be recording some of our sessions and listening to them, and we're going to get support about how to listen to our tapes and what to listen for. And if there are areas that I feel stuck, I can maybe send a tape to the monastery and have that listened to and get some guidance on that. So I just want to say how I felt really supported by going to the retreat and hopeful of the support onward and afterwards feel that's going to really help me keep on track and work towards supporting our work in the loving kindness.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. And that brings up a good point, too, Claire. That it's not, you know, the whole thing is not a contest, and there's no requirement or expectation about any of it. You know, several of the people who I've been talking to in preparation for the call have, you know, asked, you know, is it a requirement actually to have a group? And the answer is no. We talked about making a distinction between, you know, quite a number of people who are on the call or who are at the retreat already have established sitting groups. And so those folks, in my understanding, will use the program that we're creating with their group. And for people who don't, those who choose to will perhaps create a group of people that are, people amongst people they know, for example, to practice with, who are willing to kind of let them do a little facilitation practice. So they have a group that perhaps is not a officially, you know, posted monastery sitting group, but folks will still have a group of people they can practice with.
This is Tree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Is this Therese?
Yes. Okay. So one of the things actually that was really helpful during the retreat was one of the Transform Your Life quotes about that we're all in the best seat. And for me, that just encompassed the entire experience and even as we continue forward, that every moment is the opportunity to recognize that we are in the best seat, to kind of slice right through karma, to, you know, just practice. And it feels so incredible to be able to have conversations with folks now around their interest in perhaps joining the group. And it doesn't feel separate anymore. So much came together for me that it feels like now I get it, that it never was separate, and now it won't be because I'm inviting friends to join in to this group and in a new way. You know, I think maybe just reflecting them, you know, as we would talk or something before, but now to really make a commitment to a group is such an incredible experience. And so I'm just so deeply, deeply grateful for this. I mean, and then just, you know, ditto to everything else. Said already.
Well, it sounds like you found a way that, on a practical level, that it can really work.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and I don't know. It's such a neat every day to say, wow. Okay, showing up in such a new way. I think I was surprised actually by how, for me, the retreat felt more like the deepening of practice. Like I kind of went with the, okay, I'm going to become a facilitator, and you know, and I had sort of this real excitement about that, and really what I noticed was, oh, wow, I think facilitation is kind of the added bonus to the fact of deepening practice and making that and recommitting every moment to that.
Yeah, that's great. I'm going to pass the phone here to Melinda, but I want to just make sure folks who weren't at the retreat feel free to join in the call, too, and ask questions or make comments or get clarifications, whatever you need.
And this is kind of piggybacking on what Therese said, as well as I think what Claire was pointing at, which is for those folks who weren't at the retreat, I suspect you're getting pretty jazzed about how wonderful the retreat was and hoping that you all will be able to come to the next facilitator's retreat. And one of the things I was looking at is it was a retreat within a retreat for each of us. So just as we were developing our own facilitation style, we each brought our own process to the retreat, and we bring it to facilitation. And so this is an opportunity, as Therese was pointing at, to be deepening our individual practice by doing the community participation in looking at facilitation.
Before the next person jumps in, if anybody came in late to the call, the way to unmute yourself and participate in the conversation is to hit *6. So just in case you're hanging out there and can't figure out how to join in.
Hey, Dave, this is Phil.
Phil.
Yeah, every time I was going to say something, somebody said it. So I think that's really wonderful how we're all in the, just it's kind of just like the retreat was, where we were all there just together experiencing the same thing. And the last thing I was going to say is something like what Melinda said, and that was the whole thing of, I found it so helpful. It was such a the retreat itself was such a deep retreat for me, and that all along while we were learning the facilitation skills, we were practicing facilitating ourselves as we were going along through the retreat. And I see that as one of the best ways to practice facilitation in general is just to have that same attitude towards myself, so to speak, being on the cushion for myself as I am when I'm sitting and facilitating others or a group. And that to me was very helpful. And the other part of that I really enjoyed in the retreat was some of the very, very inspiring things that Sherry said, you know, in some of her, she'd go on for a bit, and I'm very happy that those are taped. So it'll be something also to look forward to besides everything else that was so wonderful in that retreat.
Okay, great.
Dave?
Yeah.
This is Catherine.
Catherine.
Hi. I'm not clear on if we don't have a sitting group to start a different kind of group, or I'm not clear what we're talking about bringing our friends in. Could you maybe just say a little bit about what?
Sure, I might ask somebody else to say something about that. Can I share your idea, Catherine?
Oh, sure.
Catherine has a sitting group of one right now, and her idea was when we're doing the key every week, she could do a two chairs exercise where she reads the key to the empty chair and then reflects herself while she, so she's doing it on the same program as everybody else. I thought that was super fun.
That is fabulous. That's brilliant.
Yeah, I thought so too. Anybody want to speak to the question Catherine had?
My understanding was that, I'm not sure if this is exactly what Catherine's asking, but that, so for people who don't have a formal sitting group, either they just haven't established one or they're not at the point where that's what they're doing yet or whatever, that they're going to ask, you know, two, three, however many friends, just people who are in their lives, if they would be willing to, you know, gather, I guess in this case it would be once a week, to do this process. And then, I mean, they would essentially be kind of, temporary or not, they might stay on Sangha folks, and they would just be your little facilitation group, and you would lay out the guidelines in the same way you would with any other group, in the sense that, okay, yes, we're all friends, we're buddies and we do other things together, but when we're in this forum together, we'll follow the format, you know, where we're not cross-talking and we're not giving advice and all that kind of stuff. So it would have much the same look. It's just that it would be a chance for the folks who are starting out in facilitation to kind of just test out their skills.
Okay.
That was my understanding also. Does that seem right to other people?
Yes. Yes.
Great.
It's a very low-pressure kind of a situation.
Yeah, that's the same word I was thinking of, low pressure. You know, to give people some room to actually practice and learn the skills and, you know, find out what it's like to actually be sitting in front of people doing this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
If I could add to that, this is Lynette. What I thought I heard about that type of a group also is that we wouldn't be having folks sit for 30 minutes, that we would start with some sitting, but it would be very short, and that it wouldn't be a long sit. It would be more of a quiet, you know, the idea of moving people into that rather than the expectation that people walk in and sit for 30 minutes.
I remember that, too. That seems right to me. Does that seem right
to you? Yes. Yeah, that people just come in and sit quietly for a few moments and then move into the activity. But people aren't going to have to teach people to meditate or guide meditation practice. In fact, we don't want you to.
Yeah, that's part of the taking the pressure off.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, any more comments or questions before we move on to other business?
Dave?
Yeah.
Hey, Dave.
Danny here.
Hey, Danny.
I just wanted to offer that in the wake of the retreat, I feel like my facilitation has taken on a new dimension. I'm more aware of my own process, and I have my understanding of how I'm facilitating seems to have deepened, and I've caught myself a couple times just as I've started going off and pulling myself back, which has been very gratifying.
Yeah, that's great. That's really fun to hear. There was someone else there. I didn't catch who it was.
Yeah, David, Mickey.
Hey, Mickey.
Hey, one thing that I was just wanting to mention about one of the things that I really appreciated about the retreat is a little tangential to our discussion, but I really appreciated that we had a lot of people there who helped us get a really good start on getting the monastery gardens back in shape.
That was fun. Yeah, it was fun to, you know, to facilitate together and, you know, practice together and then go outside and dig in the dirt together.
Yeah, it really was. And another thing, just about one of the things that was just a little thing that stuck with me about the retreat was we were talking one time and Sherry made the point about how when we're facilitating, the point is really to get ourselves out of the way and, not have our identity or personality be the one who's facilitating, including not drawing attention to ourselves by what we're wearing. And I just heard all that in a new way. And this last week, it was my turn to facilitate one of the groups at the monastery, and I actually paid attention to what I wore.
Yeah, Jen just said, we can't remember what you wore, so you must have done a good job.
That's right.
You know, that's a good point, Mickey. I had forgotten that, but that's a little jewel of information that came out and there's a whole lot of things like that that are buried in those recordings.
That's right. It'll be really fun to excavate them.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really valuable. And also the part that you were just talking about, you know, in general about, you know, kind of representing the practice, there was a lot of good stuff that came up about that.
Yeah. And it really felt to me like people have alluded to it earlier on this call, but it really felt like this particular group of people being invited to really step up in the practice and participate at a whole new level, and it was just very exciting.
Yeah, you know, something, I'll throw in something from me here as I hear you say that. One other point that we made that was really big, I thought, was just about the importance of doing it within the context of guidance from the monastery to make sure that we're all kind of on the same track and that as we practice representing the practice, we're doing that with the support of the guide and of the monastery in the form of actual guidance about what's going on. Hopefully that'll be a piece of what happens in these calls, but also just as an attitude of mind for people to know that it's really easy for ego to slip in and start doing practice in the name of, you know, practice. And, you know, that's a big part of what happens in between the sitting groups and the monastery. It's just, and particularly with the guide, is to help us all remember what practice actually is.
Yeah.
And Dave, it's Sherry. Tagging on to that, I felt like a big part of what happened when we were all together and that I hope continues to happen is that people build a lot of confidence within the safety of Sangha. So rather than having this kind of, I need to hide out because I'm probably not doing it right, or I'm going to say the wrong thing, or, you know, I'm probably going to get into trouble for something. I'm going to get a long-distance note. Instead, people, I project, really relaxed into a different relationship with practice more a relationship with practice, sangha, guidance, the monastery, and less a relationship with what the voices in their head would like to tell them about practice and the monastery and all of that sort of thing.
Yeah, I was really projecting that also. I projected that a big piece of that was seeing that really we're all the same, and we're all in the same boat, kind of have the same fears and anxieties. You know, we have the same karma that comes up, and, you know, there's nothing to be scared, there's nothing to get in trouble for, really, or to be scared about, because, you know, we're all just doing this together and learning how to do something that's really pretty courageous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hello, Dave. This is Donna.
Donna, mm-hmm.
I have a question. Since I was not at the retreat, I'm feeling just a little overwhelmed and also a little sad that I wasn't able to be there. But my question is, what would be the best way for me to kind of get on track with the facilitation? Obviously, to listen to the CDs, that would be really helpful. But what else should I or can I do to kind of sort of feel as if I'm getting a little more up to speed?
Well, I'll take a shot at that, and we'll see what other people would add. I think you mentioned something that, you know, the CDs, the getting out of the way CDs that we made a while ago could be really helpful.
Yes.
As soon as we get the recordings up, that will be extremely helpful. And I think the main thing is to participate in the program we're offering, because I look at it as ongoing, not just ongoing support, which it definitely will be, but also ongoing training. And so, you know, hopefully all the kinds of things that came up during the retreat will come up again. We'll be able to look at them again in different ways with more experience and kind of, you know, train, you know, we can all train each other as we go along.
And hopefully we're making it sound so fabulous that nobody will ever miss a retreat like that again.
Mm-hmm.
It would just be too horrible. In fact, I think it was at that retreat that we came up with a little idea that when we are all gathering at the monastery, we on the West Coast will kick in a little extra to support East Coasters in getting there. That's how important it is for us that we're all here together.
Yep, we did. Is there more from anyone? Okay, well, we
Hi.
Can...
Oh,
yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry, Dave. This is Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi. I don't know if you're about to go into this, but I'm feeling a little foggy. It's possible it's just me. But I guess I'm confused about... So if we already have a sitting group, we offer this in a, like, as part of the sitting... Like, we would sit and then... have this instead of having the facilitated part? Is that basically, sorry.
If I understand you.
I'm sorry.
The program, like working with the key, that would be the facilitation part.
Got it, okay. So, but then people who would be coming to, like I saw the flyer and stuff, so people who are coming to, I mean, they're coming for the sitting group too, right? I mean, it's kind of, you were mentioning, I think earlier you were mentioning something about people coming and not having to sit or know how to sit and things like that. But if it's a sitting group, then there is going to be a sitting component. Is that right?
Yeah, well, and somebody else correct me if this is not right, but you're in a different boat because you already have an established sitting group. So
uh-huh.
I think the intention is for you to essentially, you'll continue in the way you have, but you'll fold this new program into your sitting group.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Is that how you see it, Sherry?
Yes. Yeah. So instead of, you know, after the sit, everybody bows and then the facilitator says, so what should we talk about? We start through the key, which, you know, I think will be probably more interesting for established sitting groups than it will be for new groups. Because oftentimes when people have been sitting for a while together and they've been in groups together, it can get a little predictable. You know, there's so-and-so raising their hands where they're going to talk about blah, blah. And so with this, everybody's going to start out at really kind of basic points of practice which is what the key offers. And but I think it will be, even for seasoned meditators, a deepening opportunity, because we don't often run our lives past the basics of practice, if that makes sense to people.
Yeah, it makes complete sense. It's like it sort of puts the structure in the sitting groups that we live with all the time here at the monastery.
Yes.
Because we're always being kind of turned back towards the basics, it feels like, here. But in a sitting group, like you say, you don't really have a mechanism to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I predict that it's going to be really helpful for sitting groups that are, you know, bringing in new members all the time, too. Because I know I hear people talk about it's difficult sometimes when a new person comes because, you know, they have no experience of practice, no idea what it is at all. They're just trying to dope it out from what the other people are saying in the room, you know, who are also very new, generally. And to have actually something that comes from the guide as a focal point, I think it'll kind of train the people who are coming to the groups at the same time that the facilitators are getting trained.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, we can continue with that if anybody thinks of other questions or anything in general, but I'm going to try to hit some of these specifics. I wonder, maybe the first item of business could be the blurbs that Lynette wrote. I saw that there were two different versions. Anybody have any comments?
We already prepared Lynette that she was going to write something up for us to rip to shreds.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So she is absolutely steeled.
I'm ready.
I don't remember seeing it.
It went out today, so you might not have had a chance. We got it out kind of late.
This is Phil, and I saw it, and I liked them a lot. And I actually wrote back because I got the something confused. But I thought that if we put part of one into the, you know, I like the first version. I don't know if people saw them, but and then maybe just with a little bit of. Doing something to it. That's all. But they were both great. They were similar.
Okay.
Hi, this is Cameron.
Cameron?
I particularly liked the second one has a statement that I think is really intriguing, and it says, life is a process. Explore how life works. That seemed like a really enticing line for a flyer to put up to interest people in the reading the book group.
Yeah, I agree. That really is enticing. It's non-threatening, too.
Yeah. And it says all levels are welcome. I think both flyers say that, so mm-hmm. I think that's good, too, so that people know that, you know, anybody can come.
Dave?
Yeah.
This is Penny, and I didn't actually know what this was, and I was looking at the computer, and it was on the computer, and I looked at it, and I said, it was the one that Chip Cameron's talking about, that version, and I looked at it, and I thought, God, that looks great. I wonder what that is. It was really effective as far as I'm concerned.
We can sign you up.
I'll sign up.
All right.
I don't have it in front of me. Are we talking about the first version one or version two? Anybody know?
Version two is what I've heard from people.
This is Lynette, and I'm going to, which one is version one and which one is version two? Maybe that would be helpful.
This is Phil. Version two is the green one.
And it starts with living and loving?
Are yours in color?
Yeah. Okay.
I thought version one was...
Yeah.
I think version two...
Lisa.
As they were, at least as they were labeled in the email, version two is the blue one.
Oh.
Okay, so what I'm hearing so far is people like life is a process.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All levels welcome.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
What else do people like?
Yeah, I like the whole flyer, and the only thing I thought of is it might need. It might need maybe a little more text just to flesh out for people exactly what they would experience in the groups. I really like what it evokes, but people might be hesitant without a little bit more, I don't know, a little bit more about, yeah, a little more actual description, like a small paragraph of what will actually happen at the group.
Although keep in mind, my memory of it is that people are not like posting these on supermarket boards. They're handing them around to their
right.
their community, right?
Yeah, right.
Even so, it feels like it needs more text.
I don't know. To me, it would maybe even another sentence or two. You know, it says explore the works of American Zen teacher Sherry Huber in a safe and supportive environment. You know, and it has the time. But I think I would like to know maybe that, you know, we would have a period of quiet reflection and then a facilitated, even just that.
Okay, I'll make a note of that, Mickey.
Any other votes on that?
Yeah, this is Phil. I was thinking.
This is Janet. Hello?
Janet. Mm-hmm.
I kind of feel differently. I feel like if you get too much text, then people don't read it. So I was hoping that it could all be really on one page, actually. And I thought that the exploring the works of the American Zen teacher, Sherry Huber, was good. With that little quote after it, sitting down, being still, and looking inward will lead us to clarity and freedom. I like that. And there was one other thing I liked about that version is that awareness was a lot lighter than the other version where it was almost too dark, so you couldn't read the text as well. You know, the awareness in the background?
Oh.
So I liked that. Well, that's the way mine came out because I printed it in black and white. So maybe in color it's different.
All right.
Okay,
Marie,
good.
Do you feel like you have enough to go on?
I just had one comment. This is Marie. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wasn't sure I was unmuted. I really like the flyers, and I really liked them a lot. And there was just one thing that at the bottom it says offered on behalf of Living Compassion, and I think we might want to say Zen Monastery Peace Center instead.
We got a vote here on that from Jen.
Okay. But I thought they were both really nice.
Okay, great. So does it go to Marie at this point? Is that what happens?
I believe so. Do you believe that, Marie?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay.
Okay, good. Great.
Dave?
The next thing is the guidelines.
Wait, Dave?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was a little voice in the background calling your name.
It's Karen.
Karen.
Hi. I just had a quick thing. I actually love that one sentence that says all levels of experience are welcome, because
mm-hmm.
When I look at all levels are welcome, I might think that, well, I don't have a level. But, you know, all levels of experience includes everybody to me, even
okay.
no experience. So I just like that word in there.
Great, thanks. That's a nice distinction.
Okay. Dave, this is Jean. Can I add one more thing before we go?
Absolutely.
And this may be what Marie's going to do with this, but I'm just hoping what's here will have the branding of the monastery, so whether it's the meditator or, you know, it's on letterhead, tying all of us together with that feels important to me.
Yeah, that's a good point. That seems really important to me, too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Is there anything else on this topic? All right. The next thing, Jen Y managed to pull together the guidelines. For those who weren't at the retreat, we had quite an extensive conversation about the different sort of things that either would get posted or would go to people when they come to the sitting groups, particularly the guidelines that people would receive. I don't think we're at the point now where we can really do anything about it on the call. We need to kind of look at them on our end. It could be, you know, because we had such an extensive conversation, it could be we can just take care of it here in-house, but I'm not actually sure. So that might have to kind of wait for the next step.
We might, Dave, we might get them as ready as we can get them and then send them out to people and have another little conversation that way.
Yeah, I think so, too. The only reason I hesitate around that is I think at the end of the call we need to decide kind of when our next call will be and how that's going to work. So provided there's an opportunity for that, I think that would be super.
Great.
Is Jan Lemert on the call? Okay, I think she's not. She had volunteered
me,
for folks who were not at the retreat.
Oh, wait, Dave?
Yeah?
Dave? I hear another little voice.
Here. Oh, you are here.
Am I sounding? Sorry.
Okay, great.
My system's a little screwy. Can you hear me okay?
Just barely.
Okay, I'm going to talk really loud. Anyway, I'm here.
Okay, super. I was going to bring up the kind of in-house reflective listening practice.
Right. Well, I guess when I had gotten word, gosh, it's been a busy week. I'm trying to remember Rebecca had, I think it was, who had contacted me saying to bring it up during the conference call to check in on how we want to proceed with that.
Okay. Let me tell people what we're talking about just to catch them up. That we said it would be fun to do just with the people who are a part of the program, a little miniature reflective listening buddies program. So that we're not, you know, because a lot of people who are on the call are involved in the actual Reflective Listening Buddies program, but you end up getting paired with somebody who's brand new. And it's really not the kind of same, it's not the same thing as getting paired with somebody who's, you know, an experienced Sankha person. So it might be nice to have a way that we can, amongst ourselves, practice reflective listening and kind of actually do, you know, a practice thing in addition to kind of the organizational aspects of what we're doing. And Jan had volunteered to organize that.
And I guess what I wondered, Dave, is if we wanted to model that as far as the organization of it right after, you know, how you're doing the reflective listening buddies. So just so I'll know, you know, how we want to start things out.
Yeah, that's a really good question. Well, off the hip, we'll see what other people think. But it seems like we could do that. And it would be fairly simple because it's not a large group of people. Right now, Nikki is sort of the aperture. She has the all the email addresses of everybody in the program in one place. I'm not sure if it would go through her or if you would have that also, but it seems like we could just kind of, you know, get all the names together and pair them up and then just get everybody started. Does that seem right to other people?
I wonder, I guess what I was wondering, I guess that's assuming everyone wants to do it, and should we send something out? If I got the list from Nikki, send something out asking who among all the facilitators is interested and then go from there?
Not sure. Anybody have a take on that?
Well, maybe we could just have people let us know if they don't want to participate in that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Would that be the easiest way?
That probably would be easy. So maybe... what if Nikki
put
the word out? Would that work? I'm
sure.
Looking for a logistical way to get that word out to everybody because not everybody's on the call.
So Nikki would send out an email to everybody saying, would you like to do reflective listening practice with another facilitator in training?
Yeah.
And then people would say yay or nay.
Mm-hmm. And then we could pair them up and then... I think it would probably run itself after that. And maybe, you know, every once in a while we switch up partners like we do with the other program.
And, Dave, I guess the question for me then is, do you want me to take the list that Nikki gets and pair them? Do you want to do that? I know what we're trying to do is take jobs off you guys, but at the same time have things go through the monastery.
Yeah. I'm not actually
sure. Or do you want to get back to me about that after Mickey gets the response, and then I'll just take it at whatever step you want me to take it?
Okay. Yeah, we can leave it that way. Things are still kind of evolving about how all the communication works. That's that's the most thorny aspect of this whole thing, really. So that seems okay to me to leave it like that. How does that seem to other people?
Yeah, that
would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey,
and,
this is.
Given that, as long as we understand, it's all a work in progress.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's this first thing that we're going to do, and then we'll find out how that doesn't work, and then we'll come up with the next thing that we're going to do, and we'll just keep going until we get it the way we want it.
We got it fine tuned. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to put a little plug in. I just wanted to put a little plug in for keeping it on sort of the same schedule as the regular reflective listening, because I think switching partners would be fun with this one. And if we do it roughly when the other one changes, that would sure help me keep track of all my buddies. You know,
yeah.
If we were on a different count schedule, that might be
all remember.
Confusing. Yeah.
There was somebody else there, too.
Oh, it's Jan. I wanted to also check in. Just on, you know, what we talked about at the retreat was that we would go beyond, we had the opportunity to go beyond just reflective listening among facilitators. And if that is still, is that still a possibility?
I remember that too. I think you mean that we might do a little drawing and clarifying, drawing out.
Right,
that
we have, sorry.
You know,
yeah, that we
because
would have that opportunity.
If I may, because that to me seems like a decision that we would make as we go along.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could just get it started and everybody maybe start out just reflecting a couple of times and then we check in, and then that becomes part of the training. How is that? What arises with just that? And then maybe hear from people when they feel ready to move to the next one. That way, we don't lose the training aspect or the experience aspect and the sharing of that.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
Great. Okay, I'm aware we're running short on time. Let me just a couple of quick things. So I have the list of who signed up to transcribe what. Probably the easiest thing to do there would be just to email it out to everybody so everybody can remember exactly what they volunteered for.
Uh-huh.
And we need,
yeah.
There's one slot open, which is the Saturday, the very beginning of the retreat, the Saturday evening. Is there anyone on the call who wouldn't mind taking on another transcribing challenge? Or we could also ask the email.
We could
Dave?
Find.
Yeah.
Dave, this is Tony.
Tony.
I'd be willing to do it.
Bless your heart.
So
okay,
Saturday
wrote,
night.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Thanks
sir.
Okay.
Am I right in that the tapes are not on the web yet for us, right? I just haven't missed it.
No, that's, but they're being finished up this afternoon.
Wow.
Oh, great. Great. Okay.
We need to bake June a cake or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been a big job.
Yeah, I think she's put a lot of work into that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Dave, also I wanted people to know that Danny has put those two facilitation CDs on, made them digital, but I don't think they're posted yet.
Oh, you don't think they're posted yet?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Bob's made them accessible online yet.
Okay. Maybe, Mickey, we can let people know when they are there.
Yeah.
Jan, do you know about that? I thought I saw an email go through saying they were ready. Or Marie?
I think there may have been a question for him, though, meaning they're ready. Let me know what the...
Oh, okay.
I took a little spin around looking for them, and this is Cameron. I wasn't able to find them, but I didn't, spend a long time looking for them. So if they're there, it's not real obvious.
Okay.
I'll find out where we are exactly with that and get them up, and then maybe, Mickey, we can send out an email to everybody telling them they're up along with the link to get to them.
Yep.
Danny here.
Hey, Danny.
I just wanted to... I'm not sure if this information got through, that the CDs that I was given, one of them was defective and I wasn't able to pull the last 3 minutes of sound off of, and before they go up, if it's thought that it would be worth having the entire thing, if I were to be sent another CD, I could do it again and get the entire, the whole thing.
Okay. Huh. Anybody have an opinion on that?
Alex, sounds do like- you know, Alex, do you, can you access another one?
Excuse me? What's that? Access another one of the, you mean the getting out of the way? Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Okay. So we can get that to Danny.
Okay. So Alex has got that. All right. Maybe we should talk about next calls and schedule something. I don't, you know, we're going to start the official program in mid-May, and we talked about for sure a week, every week at that time. What are people's feelings about between now and then, how often we should talk? We want to do it every couple weeks. Would that be enough? Oh, Monday.
How about one in mid-April and then see where we are?
I'm
thinking one in mid-April and then one, you know, one to probably like maybe every 3 weeks or two to three weeks, I think would feel good.
Again, I think we can't know that because we have one situation now, and then when people get their groups going, it's going to be a whole different world.
Yeah? That's true. Yeah.
So maybe we just make a decision about what gets us up to the start of the groups, and then we decide after that.
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, let's see. Once the beginning of May starts, it'll be really challenging for us, and then we're into actually the new part, you know, when the program actually begins. So what if we do people feel like it's enough to talk once in April? Do we do twice in April?
Yeah, I think twice in April would be a good deal.
Okay.
So that'd be about every 2 weeks, something like that.
Yeah. How's that seem to others?
Yeah, I vote every 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. Boy, this is going to be challenging, I have a feeling.
We're scheduling the next call and then see where we are. And that way we'll know if we've, or, you know, we have a huge agenda or we're good until we, yeah, Sherry said, we won't really know how often we need to meet until we're started. Our groups and our groups won't start until May.
That sounds good. How about if we schedule it for, like, the second week of April, and then if we decide we do want to talk again before the groups officially start, that'll give us, you know, in 2 weeks we'll still have a window where we can do that.
Yeah. And if we could do it like after the 15th, because that's when the new quarter of Reflective Listening Buddies starts, and maybe we can kind of get our buddies program going via email by then and then see how it's going if we do it like the 16th or 17th, you know, sometime after that.
Okay, that's a challenge. That's more of a challenge for us, Rebecca, because that's our hardest week of the month. We've got not what but how during that time.
Oh, okay. Okay. Were we looking at the middle of April? I thought that was what I heard.
What about the week of like the 6th to the 10th? Somewhere in there.
Oh, okay.
You could do.
Works for me.
I don't know if this time works well for people. You know, 5:30 on Friday.
Could I actually vote for us Thursday, the 9th?
That is challenging for us.
How about Wednesday?
At a workshop day.
Oh, yeah,
well,
right.
Your workshop is going on.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, but folks, there's always something going on.
Yeah,
yep.
It almost has to be Friday for the monastery as we're looking at it here, because we got something every other night of the week.
If it got earlier, that might be a possibility, but I don't know how that is for Californians.
Yeah.
Or, I'm sorry, Westerners.
Friday works really good for me, and I'm running into that every other night being booked too.
Mm-hmm.
Or other times on the weekend actually might work.
Friday is good for me.
Well, should we say Friday the 10th?
Yep.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay, 5:30 on Friday the 10th.
Okay. Friday the 10th.
So at the same time?
We are recording the calls. So
that's correct.
That's a positive.
That way everybody can stay caught up. That's super.
Uh-huh. What's the time of the call? 5:30, Dave?
5:30 on the Pacific side.
Right. Okay, great.
Dave, is there time for a question?
Yes. Well, actually, we're officially out of time, but
okay.
I think we can. Well, I think we can probably do it.
Well, no, it's just I came in late on the call, and I just want to know if you covered the question of if we're involved at a site and facilitating occasionally there, if we still are, if the guidance is still to go and, you know, to do another group as well. If that was covered, I'll just listen to it.
I didn't completely understand the question, but I think Jen did.
Yeah, for Palo Alto, there are several of us that share facilitation. And if all of us are starting our own groups, that could... there's a chance of depleting Palo Alto, but there's also the chance of expanding. So I just wondered if there's guidance around that.
You know, I think that's a larger scope than this call.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dave, do you agree?
Yeah, I do. I think that kind of thing will also get worked out as we go along.
Yeah. So we can get together with the Palo Altoers and address that.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, we're out of time. Does anything else need to be said before we end?
The final time for our next phone call is the 10th at 8:30 or 8:30 Eastern,
5:30 your time, yeah. Oh, I should ask, was there anybody who joined the call late who we didn't get their name down? We did a little roll call at the beginning. We got Jan.
We added
Lynette. Okay, that was it. All right, good. Well, thanks, everybody. That was fun.
Thank you, everybody.
All right. Night, all.
Bye.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye.